just tuned in to Power Walk. Our teacher, Dr. Paul Cannings, is the senior pastor of Living Word Fellowship Church in Houston, Texas. If you're in the Houston area, come worship God and fellowship with him and the members of the church. He would love to get to know you. Log on to powerwalkministries.org and click on the church tab for more information. Our current series at the Power Walk Ministries broadcast is titled Family Living, God's Style. All of us are very familiar with the concept that the world, the flesh, and the devil will all influence us to do things that are not pleasing to God. Yet God gives us everything we could possibly need to protect ourselves, our families, and our homes. Today, in part three of the sermon, Terror Alert, Safeguard Your Marriage, Dr. Cannings brings us a further challenge to be aware of the enemy's tactics and to keep him out of our homes.
You know, just the other day, we had the news that tells us how persistent the terrorists are, that someone tried to get a package on the plane that could have exploded or could have done damage, and it was a test run. It tells us the persistence of the terrorists, but it also tells us all the work being done to keep us safe. To find this package, with all the packages that come in and out of America every day. Now, I want you to think of all the packages, all the planes flying in and out of this country every day. This particular package was found that teaches us not just the persistence of the terrorists, but the commitment of many people who work hard to safeguard our country. What are we doing when it comes to our marriages? What are we doing to safeguard a terrorist that wants to tear up our homes? What are we preparing in our hearts to keep the influence of Satan out? Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible says that Satan is going to heaven day and night seeking to destroy our lives. In Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says that Satan was crouching there, waiting for an opportunity that Cain gave to him because of his persistence in doing evil. Folks, it doesn't take a lot. It's something that he is willing and ready and committed to do, and he's persistent in seeking to get it done because he knows that we are strapped in sinful, weak flesh. And he knows that he could corrupt television. He could corrupt whatever he wants to, music. He could influence the world. The Bible says he's the prince of this world. He has a lot of influence, a lot of authority to do a lot of things to get at us. So since he's one place at a time, can't be everywhere all the time, he can influence so many other things to be able to do what he wants it to do so his demons can have an influence on us. And it's not like he's trying to vacate the church. He's trying to come in there. The Bible says the wolves will come in among you and they will tear up the flock. It tells about what they do to the flock. They split it up. They create doubt and anger and frustration in people's lives. The Bible describes them. He said they will come, and they will be in the pulpit. They will be in the Sunday school class. They'll be everywhere. We got to safeguard this because he is persistent, and there's not a time that he is not going to come and try to do what he feels he needs to do to destroy us. And that's why when we come to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and Satan comes in and he's talking to them, and they allow themselves to get into a conversation with him, which I've said to you earlier, that you cannot have a conversation with Satan. Don't do it. Don't talk to him. I cast you out at this. Don't talk to Satan. Please do not do it. They had this conversation with Satan, and he's the craftiest animal of all the animals in the garden. And he is beginning to influence them. He's beginning to get to Eve because now she has added a word to the scriptures. He didn't say nothing about you can't touch it. She left out, you surely die. So now he is creating doubt and he's moving her around with the word of God. And that's all he has to do to know he's getting through. And now, folks, he is doing something by this whole process that is not good for your marriage. He's reversed the order. He doesn't come and talk to Adam. No, he comes and talks to Eve. You have some things here that, you know, it's real. We may pass by it. We may not say it. It's real, folks. Because when Adam is naming all the animals, he just goes through and names them. But when he saw Eve, he goes, whoa, man. I mean, God formed Eve. Could you imagine the perfection this woman is? She's formed by God. And Adam sees her, and there is nothing that God has to say to Adam to be attracted to Eve. He doesn't say, Adam, I need you to be attracted to Eve. No, Adam, I'm going to put a spirit on you that causes you to be attracted to Eve. Nothing like that happens in the scripture. Adam sees Eve, and he goes, wow, look at this. You, man, He immediately gravitates to Eve. He immediately wants to be with Eve. Don't you think Satan watched all of that in chapter 2? And Eve is a naked woman standing by a tree, fashioned by God. God made man. He fashioned woman. And she's standing by the tree, and they're having this conversation. And Satan knows that if I get this woman standing by this tree to talk to this guy, even though he heard directly from God, he most likely, because of the flesh, would listen to this woman. And he did. Well, folks, he reversed the order. Once you get things out of order, influence of Satan is immediate. Yes, as a wife, you may be the smartest person that ever walked the earth. You may know everything. You may be the most educated in your family. You may bring in most of the money. But you can't reverse the order. What God has put in order, he said it is good. There's nothing wrong with it. The word good means it is beneficial, it's productive, it's advantageous for it to operate this way. If you don't let it operate this way, then you are working against the very thing that God has put in place to build you up. Oh, yeah, it may sound stupid. Matter of fact, I heard a lady say that men have two brains. One is lost and the other one doesn't know where to look. I understand. Women may think that of their husbands. Oh, yeah, yeah, man, you know, I've got things to say. You are his helper. You have something to say. He needs to listen, because when God made man, he made him a helper. So man is incomplete without his wife. She made him, together they are one flesh. But they need each other. They're interdependent on each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says the man is dependent on the woman and the woman is dependent on the man. There's an interdependence. So folks, understand that you need your husband and your husband needs you, but you can't, because he's quiet or he's passive, dominate the home and do what you want to do because he tends to let you do it. You are reversing an order that allows Satan to have an opportunity to impact your home. Don't reverse the order. Keep it the way God says. Yeah, but I got a passive husband. Now look at Adam. He's standing by the tree. Adam wasn't a long ways off in the garden and she had to go look for him to hand him the fruit. Adam was standing right there and didn't say nothing. He functioned as a passive man right there. Eve should have empowered him by saying, Adam, what did God say about this? Should we wait until God comes in the cool of the evening to answer the question that this serpent is saying to me? Come on, Adam, tell me what we need to do here. I'm not going to do anything until you give us instructions about what God wants for this family to happen in his home. He said, but Pastor, I don't have a saved husband. How do I function when it's not a safe husband? 1 Corinthians 7 says you keep your home focused on the word of God and God will sanctify the home. But you still listen to your husband, 1 Peter chapter 3, when he's not violating the word of God. Because an unsaved man may not violate the word of God in what he's saying to his home. He may not know what he's saying that is based on the word of God. And the reason why he doesn't know it is because he's not saved. And the reason why he's saying it is because your holiness, your commitment to God, your faithfulness to serve God, your commitment to do what God says is sanctifying the home. So the influence of the Holy Spirit is not inside of him because he's not saved, but the influence of the Holy Spirit is upon the house. So here he is giving instructions, saying things that doesn't violate the word of God. The Bible talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 3. Well, folks, God will protect you like he did Sarah when Abraham made a bad decision, a terrible decision. God protected her. He would watch over you, but you don't reverse the system. You don't allow Satan to influence you to do what God has told you not to do. Look at what Satan does here. Satan is no dummy. He knows the flesh. He has studied that flesh. He's seen how Adam responded when he saw Eve. He's watched the fruits that they've eaten and see they like those ones. They don't like those ones. And maybe they like this one better. So they have tastes and they like certain things. And when they eat it, they go back to it. And he's studied them. So he comes to them to move them to do wrong, but based on what they like. Come on, Eve. God knows that if you were to eat of this fruit, you would know good. You'll be just like God. You'll be just like God. Here is Eve seeing God come in the garden, and Adam seeing God come in the garden, and God in his power and might to doing things. Adam wasn't there, but he fell asleep when he got up. Beautiful woman God made. She wasn't there before. He was naming all the animals. He's moving around the garden. Never saw this woman. Boom, God has made her. Oh, man, okay. God is able to do this. He's seeing the power of God operate, and God coming in the cool of the evening out of nowhere. And talking with him, and man, if I eat of this fruit, I could be like God? Wow! Here comes the influence, the very thing that Satan did in heaven, He's influenced her to do on earth. The Bible says, don't covet. Don't covet things. If God bless you with a hoopty and he bless somebody else with a nice shiny car, praise God that they're blessed. But don't covet, because now you have to have the bigger house. You got to have the bigger car. You have to have the flat screen. Oh, no, that's not enough. You got to have the high definition. Oh, that's not enough. You got to have a certain amount of channels. You got to have the NFL network. Oh, no, I've got wireless in the house. Oh, no, that's not enough. My computer's getting slow. I got to speed it up. Next thing you know, you're full of bills. You're stressed. Your wife is out working. You're out working. And y'all have no time for devotions, no time to pray as a family, because one is going at this time of the day. The other one is going at that time. Who's picking up the kids? Who's dropping off the kids? The kids are being taken to church, but they're not being given church. The husband and the wife is not being able to model Christ in the church, in the home, in the manner in which they manage the home. They're just making sure the kids get their homework done and do good at school and behave in church. And the kids are doing these things, but it's not shaping their heart. Why? Because I got to have the fast of this, and I have to have this, and I have to go to the hairdresser every week, and I have to get my hair cut every week, and I can't wear the same clothes to work all the time. I have to get some new stuff, and I need some credit cards because I need to do this. And next thing you know, folks, a person, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, this is what it says in verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of the Lord lives forever. It is not the quantity of life, folks. It's the quality of life. Eve took the route of all the things she can be, rather than be content in whatever state she's in. Now, folks, don't let the world swallow up your home, because Satan is persistent and he'll find a way in. He's always trying. Every day, day and night, Revelation 12:10, he's trying. Let the Spirit of God convict you and you submit. Let the Spirit of God guide you into truth. Let the Spirit of God illuminate the Word of God and you submit. Oh Lord, I pray that when the Spirit of God influence you as you listen today, you will surrender your will to his. No matter if it makes sense or no sense, you will do it. God bless you.
The world is passing by, and the one who does the will of God lives forever. Let's consider the seriousness of this and study God's word and submit our wills to him. Friends, please consider helping us spread the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We invite you to learn more about Power Walk by logging on to powerwalkministries.org. We're committed to sharing God's Word and His love through leadership training, outreach efforts, and media outlets. And we need you to partner with us financially. Contact us today at powerwalkministries.org. Our number is 281-260-7402. That number again is 281-260-7402. Remember to allow the Holy Spirit of God to guide you and illuminate your path.